Well, welcome back to another episode of the Halfway There podcast. I'm Nick, your host, here with Brian, as most ways, not always, because sometimes you get sick.
Well,
but most days. How you doing, Brian?
Don't be teasing that. You know, you could be next. So, yes, I'm doing great. I'm doing feeling good. Back on, you know, the mend. I'm over it.
Good. Well, we have a very special guest today as we kind of conclude our conversation on our series, Fear Not. One of our fine young men who's a junior. He's homeschooled, but does a great job leading our worship team.
Amen
and has
that.
Stepped up in some amazing ways. I'm grateful that God brought him to our youth group and our church to serve. So Wyatt, welcome to the podcast, man. We're glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here as well.
So I'm excited that we get to talk with you today on kind of this conversation about maybe some things that you took away, some things that you learned, maybe even questions that you have. This is probably the thing that I'm most excited for now that we've kind of dreamt this up of like, hey, we get to talk more about this and send students who aren't in the room home or even students who are in the room home to hear and process and kind of think on what we've taught and what God is doing and saying and teaching us. And now we get to process with the students. So yes. I don't know about you, Brian, but hey, I'm pretty excited.
I am too. You never know how you're relating to them. And, you know, sometimes they may say something. You're like, dang, he or her remembered what I said, or vice versa, you know. And I was talking to Wyatt earlier about, you know, he had said something in small groups. And I'm like, that stuck with me. And then he said something about what I had said. And, you know, it's just all about building on each other in these times where none of us are perfect. We don't have it all. But as long as we're building off each other, That's the what we want to accomplish off this.
Absolutely. So Wyatt, man, we did the series Fear Not about anxiety and answering anxiety with the character of God. You got a takeaway or something that you really enjoyed from this series?
Definitely. I want to say the first week, like the fear of rejection, how we had talked about just how no matter what you do, God's not going to reject you.
Yeah.
And it's more of like, he's going to be there for you.
Yeah.
But if you're constantly pushing him away, then he's going to stand at a distance, but he's not going to fully push you away.
Yeah. Like God is always working towards our rescue. Right. And there are times where we're like, we are kind of pushing the Lord or we're ignoring the Holy Spirit. But the reality is, like, we just wrapped up talking about this. And based on the recording schedule and all that, you haven't yet heard it because we kind of record things in different orders for the podcast than we do for teaching. But on our last conversation, we had this focus on like fear of not being good enough and that God is the one who accomplished salvation. God is the one who's finished what he started and will do that in your life. You know, one of the things that I loved about that series or that week was, you know, the verse that talked about the Psalm 118:5 that said that he will take us to a spacious place. And like, you know, we talked about how like anxiety can be this crushing feeling of the room closing in, but God opens it up for us. When we go to him, he's like, this is your home. This is your house. This is who you are. I mean, that was one of my favorite parts of that. And I know that you had mentioned, you know, this idea that God loves us and comes after us. What kind of things have you seen God work in your life? And I know, we don't have to get into your whole story, but it's beautiful. And you can, I know you've shared it a little bit, but what kind of things have you seen God working in your life when it comes to this idea of like, hey, I've tried to run, but God's come.
Right. So there's definitely been a time in my life, like when I had shared my testimony where I had lost somebody close to me and it was, you know, I had this thought in my mind that it was God's fault and I didn't want any part of him. So I had started to, you know, drift away. And then I would get into these things that I knew was wrong, but yet I'd still do it anyway, just to find that
peace or try to pursue something that wasn't the answer. Right. Right? Yeah. And so in those moments, you know, I know part of your testimony is, you know, God bringing you to a new church, which was our church at the time, and giving you, connecting you with Jeremy and some other people who really just been a part of your life to help you see, like, hey, the goodness of God is good. What was there a moment, a defining moment in your life where you said, you know, it isn't God's fault. God gives us these difficult things to form us in His image, but He was there the whole time.
It was actually something that I had heard here. Mm. I think you had said it, and it was, you were speaking about Lazarus and how Jesus raised him from the dead, because Jesus had went through pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah. Brian, anything?
Well, you know, when I was thinking about this and having you on today, and I was thinking about, we done the fear of rejection, lost control, unknown, failure, and not good enough. And, you know, there is an age gap between me and you. I feel like I've learned a lot more of this at an older age, you know, because you have so much on you being a young adult, and, you know, you have more peer pressure, more of, I've got to do this to make it through life, where I'm, you know, already completed my work and all that. And you've got to think about jobs, family, that type. When I look at it as an older Christian, mature Christian, I look at it as a fear of all these. Let me replace it with faith. You know, more faith will take away the fear in this. Is there anything that we could more convert to the younger generation that to put that faith in there instead of the fear part of it? Is, you know what I'm saying? Is there anything that we could, you know, go a little bit deeper to talking to, you know, some of the folks that are experiencing some of this? And, you know, a lot of this is more secular than it is spiritual, you know, when you're, especially when you're that young. But what I guess I'm trying to ask is there anything that we could do or talk to, or, you know, try to convert it to, instead of feeling that fear, let's put our faith there.
Right. So I think something that could potentially change that would be either talking to the students one-on-one, if they have a question going on that, or just trying to keep them more open, because I can tell in our room a lot, we get quiet, especially at the beginning of the semester we started. Right. We were all quiet. But I've been trying to say more so other people will... Trying
to carry on, right? Yeah, to open up the conversation.
Because it would just be like us talking.
And I've noticed that in our small groups, like if two or three of us will start talking, some others will start breaking in, because, you know, I've been there. I've been that student that sits there going, I don't want to say nothing. Yeah. You know, I don't want to participate. I don't want to open up my spiritual life to these people, you know, but you got to look at it. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all in this together, and we got to bond, you know, and, you know, me and Nick's already talked, you know, iron sharpen iron. You sharpen my iron just as much as I sharpen yours. Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, it takes that, you know, and I think if we did get through that barrier that everybody opened up, we would get such a bigger blessing out of our group time.
Yeah, I like what Wyatt said about like one-on-one. You know, I think for anyone who's listening who either has a desire to work with young people, is a parent to a young person, is a leader to a young person, I think Wyatt makes a really good point. Like, most relationships are built in the one-on-one, right? It is that, hey, I can trust you. I can bring something to you. I respect you. And that's hard, because like young people don't necessarily know how to initiate that. But when people are watching and looking and knowing, hey, like I knew that Wyatt was going through some really difficult stuff. I didn't know to the extent of which, but I was like, come along, walk with me. Let's do this together. And, you know, I would hope that, you know, that even now that invitation is out there. Right. And so, but also in the small group room, you guys have said, even what was the you were telling me a little bit about what was being said in your room in terms of like experiencing God's love and like settling for less. What was that quote? Do you remember?
It was, if you had the choice between going and eating at McDonald's or going to Colorado Grill, you know, which one would you want? Which one would you want more, you know? And then Brian had built off of that and said, even though you're going to the Colorado Grill, you can still
rush your meal.
Right. And I savor it.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think that story, that metaphor, that illustration kind of tells us or shows us about God's love for either of you? That's a question.
To me, it's like how genuine you know, how much of a deep relationship you have with God, or how much do you think you have with God? I think there's a purity of that. Instead of in our mind, it's in our heart. You know, you can think, hey, God is real. I know who God is, but it takes it in your heart to actually that love that God has filled your heart with to share with everybody else. And that is so much more amazing. And then Paul said, you know, this is a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's for life. You know, it's until you die, you need to spread that love. And that's what we're talking about, the meals and stuff, where you can go into McDonald's and be out there in 5 minutes and, you know, you've ate, but what have you ate?
Yeah.
Or you can go in there and you can sit down, enjoy it, share it, you know, extend it out until you're satisfied, until you're nourished.
Yeah.
And then go out. You know, so
I love that example. Honestly, I think it's a good reminder.
When he said it, I was like, hey, I got to remember that.
So. I think it's a good reminder for young people about, like, we do know what it means to eat to the point of rushed or to be rushed versus like to sit and savor. Right. And I think when we talk about like enjoying your relationship with God, you know, that requires some like sitting in the moment, sitting with God, being with God. Our posture of worship with God, like all of that is about savoring that, right? Just because you're going to savor a good meal, you savor that with the Lord. And so I think that's a very wise thing, you know. I mean, would you speak to like, and again, we're not putting anybody on the pedestal here to be like, hey, here's the perfect young person. That's not the case, right? We don't ever want you to live up to an expectation that we know is over that. But God does mature people over time, right? And he's matured you in ways that I've seen, in amazing ways. But how have you learned to like savor your relationship with the Lord?
Just sitting down and being intentional. Mm. Instead of taking, you know, 5 minutes, I can take 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, just as much time as I can possibly give, I think is what is what it means to sit down and savor it.
Mm-hmm. I love it, man. The intentionality is a huge part.
And I was going to say, you know, it's another thing is who you're sitting with. Mm-hmm. Who are you sitting with enjoying that, you know, savoring that? I think that is a lot. You know, we were talking about you sharpen my iron, sharpen yours, but sit down with those people. Sit down with those godly people, you know, and sit there in God's love and savor it. So I think the company you bring with you, it tells a lot too.
Absolutely. Well, Wyatt, just before we wrap up, thanks for coming on. One of the questions I would have to you is like, again, because we're not trying to promote our youth group, but we are wanting to see more young people be involved in the church and in the church, whether that starts in student ministry or just the church as a whole. What would you say to somebody who's a peer who is like, I don't really do the church thing? What has the church brought you? And this is not a Mount Carmel glory hour. This is like, why does the church matter to, you know, 17-year-old Wyatt?
I feel like the church matters because it's family. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta surround yourself with that group of people like Brian was talking about. And 90% of my friends are Mount Carmel students. Yeah. So, it makes it a little bit easier to have those, you know, godly peers like Brian was talking about. But, you know, there still are those few that I have that I've been trying to get to come to church, but, you know.
Patience and intentionality, right?
You can't save them, but you can lead them up to where God is. And that's all you're required to do. You know, we can't save anybody, but we can share the word so they can be. So,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Any other thoughts on just the, you know, the big tagline was like every fear has an antidote in God's character. Any ways that you've seen yourself grow in knowledge of God's character over the last 5 weeks?
One that I had really looked at was the fear of lost control, because I feel like, you know, everything is out of control. It's out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear of the unknown, like, what does God have for me, you know, in 2 weeks, from now?
2 years, whatever.
Yeah. So I feel like those two had been good.
Yeah.
Good nights.
Do you feel like a series like this helps you walk away with just greater understanding and faithfulness in the Lord?
For sure.
Great. Well, that's our goal, right? It's to try to help young people, you know, grow in their faith. And, you know, I mean, I've seen you grow in big ways, and I appreciate you leading worship for those nights as well. You know, the songs that we sang, I think, lined up with, you know, that we are made for more, that He is our firm foundation, and that, you know, that's a, even though sometimes teenagers can be rowdy during that moment, I think your focus and helping lead the room is amazing.
And, you know, to close out on this series, I still like the faith over fear. You know, let's have faith if I'm rejection, you know, of rejected or whatever. God has that plan for me. Like we were talking on one of our last episodes, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, God is not going to write Himself out of your life. You know, He's going to be with you. There may be a reason you're in that valley, but He's with you. You know, lost control. Have faith that God is in control all the time in your life. Fear the unknown. Have faith in God. There is no unknown with God. He knows all. Have that faith. Have fear of failure. Have faith that if you fail in that area, there may be a reason why. You're not going to succeed at everything you do. There may be a reason why you're failing this time. It may be to learn for something next time. You don't know. But and then fear of not being good enough. Have faith that you are good enough. God tells you you're good enough, and He will never put you in a spot that He needs you that you won't be good enough. He will give you the answer. So take the fear out of your life and put faith in there that God is in control and He's going to be good.
I love that. Well, thanks for hopping on with us, Wyatt. And thanks for being the guinea pig of the conversation.
Yes, thank you.
This is where the homeschool schedule is a little valuable because I could pull you out at 1:30 in the afternoon. But this is the Halfway There podcast. And for Brian and Nick, we thank you for listening. Share with your friends, and we'll catch you on the next episode.